I'm just going
to... Both seem to see you. What do you say?
Inspector was interested in coming.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to send him a text message.
Okay.
Tom, we're in here.
Fine, we're in here. We have a series called Tools for Brisk. And what we try to do is study chakiras and try to group them together and bring as many examples as possible to illustrate those particular groups, those chakiras. And the goal is that after you've seen so many sugyas, with that same chakira, you'll be able to identify a new sugya and fit in the proper chakira that belongs to that. So tonight what we want to study is, and it's a very general, broad topic, what creates the din? Meaning, a whole group of chakiras that are going to branch out from the issue of what generates the chiyuv. You could talk about what generates a chalos, what generates a kinyan, what generates a psul. Any din that you have, the chakira has to be, identify what generates that din. In Hebrew, we'd call it yitzirat chalot. And the emphasis here is on creating a chiyuv. So tonight we're going to speak about chiyuv and machayev. Machayev means that catalyst which sets off the chiyuv. Now keep in mind, in some cases we talk about mitzvahs. In some cases we could even talk about a chiyuv mamon. In other cases we might talk about different types of chiyuvim, and we'll see. We're going to try to cover tonight a whole bunch of sugyas in which the chakira, the focal question is, what generates the chiyuv? Now, notice that sometimes there'll be another type of chakir, but this I think belongs to a different group, but I just want to make it clear up front that we shouldn't get confused. Sometimes we identify the mechayev as being X, but there are many conditions that have to be fulfilled that have to be present in order to implement that chiyuv and obtain the kiyum. So, for example, you might say that the mechayev of the mitzvah of Dalet Minim is a chovas gavra that's generated by the zman, by the time itself, meaning tesvav b'nisan generates a chiv matzah, tesvav b'tishrei generates a chiv lulav or sukkah. Then you could ask, well, what conditions have to be met in order to implement that chiyuv, in order to achieve the kiyum mitzvah? So I need talit minim, do I need agad, do I need 4 defanas, do I need 3 defanas, do I need a kezayis of matzah, even less than a kezayis of matzah? But don't confuse that, because that belongs to a whole different group of what I call chiyuv or kiyum. We're not focused on that. We're focused on trying to identify what the mechayev is. Now, this all sounds very abstract, but as we fly through a number of sugyas, I hope it'll take on more flesh and blood. It'll be more tangible. So the first sugya that I wanted to discuss with you is the chiyuv of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And my Rebbe, the Rav, Zichron Levracha, had a fundamental chakira about the nature of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, we know we recite Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And the question is, what generates the chiyuv of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? And here the Rav suggested two possibilities. One possibility was the Kedushas Hayom. That Rosh Chodesh, in and of itself, is engendered with the Kedushas Hayom. We know, for example, at the time of the Mikdash, there was a Korban Musaf. And the Torah in Parshas Baloscha describes Rosh Chodesh together with Yom Simchaschem uv'Rosh Chodeshechem, and indicates that just like there's a day of Simcha, there's a day of Rosh Chodesh. So one could say, insofar as Rosh Chodesh is endowed with Kedusha, that Kedusha of a Moed expresses itself in a Chiyuv Hallel. The other way, though, the Rav suggested, is on the contrary. That there is no Kedusha Sayom to Rosh Chodesh. And one could look at that from many different perspectives. For example, there's no Iser Malach on Rosh Chodesh. There's no Chiyuv Achila, or Suda, or Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. The only thing is there's Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, but that might be limited to the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps outside the Beis HaMikdash, there is no Kedusha to Rosh Chodesh. What then engenders the Chiyuv Halel? And here the Rav had a very sensational revolutionary Chiddush, and this is published in Shi'urim L'Zecher Abba Mori. He says that the Hallel itself sanctifies the day. The actual observance of the day of Rosh Chodesh as a unique day, namely by reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, that engenders the Kedushas Hayom. Only then are you Chayv and Hallel, meaning it's a very interesting system, the way it works. According to the Rav, you begin with Rosh Chodesh as a day that has no Kedush Sayom outside the Mikdash. You recite Hallel, and when Klal Yisrael observes the day as a unique day by reciting Hallel, that itself creates a Kedush Sayom, and that Kedush Sayom now, in a sense, boomerangs back and engenders and generates a chiyuv of Hallel.
So what exactly is the Mechayiv then?
Then the Mechayiv is the Kedush Hayom, but only through the Hallel. In other words, the Chakira of the Rav now...
What came first, though?
Is what came first.
If the Kedush Hayom wasn't there, though, how could...
Correct.
If the
Kedush Hayom wasn't there, then the Hallel is only recited as a minhag. But the power of that minhag is to create a Kedush Hayom. I mean, Mashal Lamad Avradom El Yontif Sheni Shal Golias. The Gemara says that Yontif Sheni Shal Golias is no longer Mishum Sveika De Yoma. It's only Minig Avoseinu V'Yodeinu. So that Minig Avoseinu V'Yodeinu creates the Kedushas Hayom of whether it's Pesach, whether it's Sukkot, whether it's Shavuos, any one of the three regalim. Now, once the minig of observing the day as a day of Yontif engenders a Kedush Sayom, now that Kedush Sayom bounces back and creates a Chiyuv. So, for example, the Rav asked the following question. How do we make a brach on Achilas Matzah on Yontif Sheni Shel Goyos? We have a principle, Eim Evarchan Al HaMinog. You only make a brach on a chiv, asher k'chon mitzvosah. Not on a minog. For example, we don't make a brach on chiv and a rava. The answer is, says the Rav, it's true that Yontif Sheni that the observance of Yontif Sheni is rooted, is anchored in a minog, in minog avosein v'yodenu. But once that minog is implemented, the day itself is endowed with kedusha. That's why we could say in the Musaf of Yontif Sheni Shel Golias, like we do on the first day, Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. We are able to be Mekadesh the Zman. Once the Kedushas HaZman emerges, then what bounces back in our direction is an absolute chiyuv to eat matzah, to sit in sukkah. And therefore we can recite a bracha. The halach of Ein Mevarchan Al Minhag doesn't apply.
The first thought that the Kedushas HaYom is the Mechayiv. So the Kedushas HaYom being the character of the day, how does Hallel fit into the structure of the Kedushas Hayom? Meaning, what does Hallel have to do with the character of Rosh Chodesh?
No, what I'm saying is that Hallel is an observance which is directly related to a day that's sanctified. A day that's totally chol doesn't have Hallel. I mean, again, don't ask me from Chanukah, because that's a different Mechayev of Hallel. Okay. That has to do with Hodoy Al Anes. But when it comes to a day that's endowed with its special status, unless it has Kedushas Moed, it doesn't generate a Chiv Hallel. Rosh Chodesh doesn't have a Kedushas Moed. So the Rav explained that the minig of reciting Hallel and Rosh Chodesh, that itself creates the Kedush Sayom. Right? Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. Yisrael is Mekadesh Zman.
Would that mean to say that if Yisrael got together and decided we all want to start saying Hallel on Tuesdays, there would be a chiyuv to say Hallel on Tuesday?
You see, then you'd have to understand what the source of minig is. Meaning you have to learn, you know, very serious about the authority of minhag. You know, if we get together in a room and we decide that, you know, on Monday mornings we're going to jump off a high roof, that doesn't create a minhag. You know, there has to be a power of perhaps the Bez Nagodol should be Yushalayim to generate a minhag. We have to know what that authority is.
The first mitzvah given to the Jewish people as a whole is Rosh Chodesh. That's not enough to sanctify the day?
I don't think so, because there are many days that have mitzvahs to them, but I wouldn't say they're sanctified. To create a sanctity of a day, like, you need to give it a Kedushas Moed. You have to have Musaf, you may have to have Isa Malacha. For example, what about Chol HaMoed? Is Chol HaMoed endowed with Kedushas Hayom? I have no doubt about it. I don't put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, I hope you don't. And the reason is because Chol HaMoed is endowed with the Kedushas Hayom. And Kedushas Hayom is antithetical to tefillin. Not only that, many Rishonim hold that Isa Malacha and Chol HaMoed is Doraisa. But even if you don't hold it's Doraisa, the Kedushas Hayom itself is Doraisa. And the Chiyuv Simcha is Doraisa. There's a Kiyuv Mitzvah Sukkah and Matzah during Chol HaMoed. And therefore there's a mitzvah of Hallel on Chol HaMoed. So we're going to recite Hallel on Chol HaMoed not because of Minhag, but rather because, let's say, Sukkahs. Let's take the case of Sukkahs. Pesach is a little more complicated. But in the case of Chol HaMoed Sukkahs, that day is endowed with Kedushas Hayom on a Doraisa level, and the Kedushas Hayom engenders a Chiyuv Hallel. In the case of Rosh Chodesh, the Rav wanted to be mechadish that the reverse is the case. The day itself is devoid of Kedushas Hayom. It's the Kiyum Hallel, the observance of Hallel, which engenders the Kedushas Hayom. But once that Kedushas Hayom is engendered, now it itself generates a Kiyum Hallel. It's a very interesting system.
Once again, I'm missing something. The Mechayev for Hallel, for Amira's Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is Minhag. That's why I need to say it. That's the Mechayev for my Amira at the outset.
Right.
Once I say Hallel, then that engenders a Kedushas Hayom, and that Kedushas Hayom creates a Chiyuv Hallel.
Right, but not a Chiyuv B'Torah's Minhag, a Chiyuv B'Torah's Kedushas Hayom.
I already said Hallel, so what? I have another Chiyuv to say another Hallel?
It's Gito V'Yod Abon Kachas. So now everything happens simultaneously. You know, it's when we get to the point, it's sort of like, when we get to the point of reciting Hallel, the entire tzibur of Klal Yisrael recites Hallel, that engenders a Kedushas Hayom. And that Kedushas Hayom, which emerges with the observance of Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, changes and transforms the Hallel into a Hallel of Kedushas Hayom. A Hallel of Kedushas Hayom has a chiv to it. You recite a bracha on it.
And the Kedushas Hayom is something that's global, meaning there's a Kedushas Hayom which is generated by Klal Yisrael. It's not that my personal Amir's Hallel is created.
That's an interesting question, because what happens, for example, if you recite Hallel as a Yochid, not with a Tzibur? So the Rambam Shita is that you can't make a Bracha on such a Hallel. Mm-hmm. So the Rav explained, because only the Tzibur has the power to engender a Kedushas Hayom. An individual can't create Kedushas Hayom. So when Klal Yisrael is observing a Minhag, so if there's a tzibur as a microcosm representing Klal Yisrael, they can engender a Kedushas Hayom through their observance of the minhag. But if I as an individual recite Hallel, I don't have the power in my two hands to engender a Kedushas Hayom. That's something that's given to the tzibur of Klal Yisrael and the representatives of that tzibur, but not to an individual. So therefore the Rambam says, I have to leave out the bracha if I'm reciting Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. And many Sfaradim will have that minhag like the Rambam.
Does Shabbos have a Kedushas Hayom?
Shabbos has a Kedushas Hayom, but not a Kedushas Moed.
There's Isser Malacha.
There's Isser Malacha, there's a separate Karban.
Kiddush.
There's no Tefillin. There's a Mitzvah Kiddush. All that is true, but it's lacking in one detail as far as Hallel is concerned. Namely, it doesn't have the Kedushas Moed. Only when the Torah considers it a Moed, and Rosh Chodesh is considered a Moed, and that's an interesting question, why Rosh Chodesh is considered a Moed, but suffice it to say that the Pasuk in Baal Oscha says, B'yom simchaskem uva moadechem uva rosh echodshechem, so the Torah equated Rosh Chodesh with moadim.
So why wouldn't that be enough to be mechayev and halal?
Because that only applies in Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because that Pasuk is referring to the special mitzvah, the key of Mikdash, of blowing the chatzotzos. Okay then? Mm-hmm. Let's go on. Brachos. We have two categories of brachos that I want to call to your to focus on tonight. One is birchas hanehenim, and the other is birchas hamitzvos. And offhand, I would have suggested that there are two fundamentally different categories with two different machayvim. The nature of the machayev of Birchas HaNenev is the Isur Me'ila. The Gemara says at the beginning, Ketzim of Barachim, HaNenev Olam Zebul Baracha Kilu Ma. In other words, basically all of this world is Hegdesh. I have to be Po De Hegdesh, and the vehicle to be Po De Hegdesh, and to lift the Isur Me'ila, which is Gzeilah Min HaHegdesh, is the bracha. I acknowledge God, He gave me this apple, and now I can eat the apple, because once I acknowledge God, that itself is a pigeon, removes the Isur Hegdesh, and now I'm allowed to eat it. But Birchas HaMitzvahs, I would have said, belongs under a different category. There's no Isur here involved. On the contrary, I have a Chiyuv Mitzvah, and together with that Chiyuv Mitzvah comes a Chiyuv Bracha.
So what's Machayev? Your Chiyuv or your
My Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving me this Mitzvah, or giving me the opportunity to fulfill this Mitzvah.
So it's a type of Birchas Shabbach?
It's a Birchas Shabbach.
Generated by your Chiyuv?
Generated by the Mitzvah.
So the Mitzvah is the Machayev of the Bracha.
Correct. The problem is, I don't know if it's a problem, but the Rambam, when he opens up Hilchos Brachos and he classifies Brachos, he's very clear that the Isur Me'ila generates the Chiyuv Bracha in Birchas HaNenim. He says, "Mi divrei sofrim levarech al kol machal tchil avachkach yehena mimenu." V'chein amei riach reach tov mevarech v'achkach yehena mimenu v'chol anena below bracha moa. By the way, based on this concept, Rabbi Kivega paskins that if you have a Sofik Birchas HaNenim, then the halach of Sofik Brachas Lahakil doesn't kick in, because it's a Sofik Isur. How can you go ahead and eat this apple if you have a Sofik? You might be violating Me'ila. And then in the very next halach, the Rambam says, Ukishem. Shemavarchim al Hanoya, kach mevarchim al kol mitzvah v'acher kach yase osa. The language of the Rambam, in a very striking way, and the Rav always taught us how to read the Rambam carefully, the Kishem, creates some sort of corresponding parallel, almost a mirror image. The Rambam doesn't come up with a new background or a new machayev for the birchas hamitzvah. He says kshem shemvarchim al hanoah, meaning as if to say everything we just formulated in terms of the machayev of birchas hanoah. Kach mevarchim al kol mitzvah. The acher kach yasoso. It could be then that birchas hamitzvah, like birchas hanenim, is a matir, meaning the oser generates the birchas hamitzvah. Now I wouldn't have.
What's the Isser that we're dealing with?
Oh, so what's the Isser that we're dealing with? So I have here a Tosefta in Brochus. And the Tosefta in Brochus says the following. Lo yitom odom klum ad shi yivorech, shenemar lashem ha'aretzum aloha. It's the first Tosefta in the fourth parak of Brochus. Then it says, hanenem in olam hazeh v'lo bracha, ma. And listen to the next five words. Ad Shiatiru lo kol hamitzvus. Ad shiatiru lo kol hamitzvus. It's a dangling phrase. There's no doubt in my mind that there's a piece in the Tosefta here that's missing. But what's fascinating is the Chasdei David. The Chasdei David, his name was Rav David Pardow. He lived about 3.5 centuries ago. Every one of his millions of Sfarim have the word Dov, the name David in it, because that was his name. So in the Chasdei David on the Tosefta, he writes the following: Ad shi'atiru lo kol hamitzvus, nirali dahachi perusha, ki amar l'shem ha'aretz umaloa, v'lachein asur lehenos min ha'aretz b'li bracha, ki nechshav kimoel b'kodshim. If he would enjoy the benefits of this world without a bracha, that's me'ilu b'kodshim. U'bekoach ha'bracha, podim min ha'hegdesh. Aval HaKodesh HaZeh Nechshav Rak Kodshim Kalim. We have two categories in Hegdish. We have Kodshim Kalim and Kodshim. U'mosif O, the Tosefta adds, Ki Gadol Koach HaBrocha. Do you want to understand, appreciate the power of the Brocha? Asher Gam Becheftzei Shamayim V'zeo HaMitzvos HaNechshavos Ki Kodshim Kodshim Gam Kein. He says here also a Brocha, Beinon bracha mikodem lehishtamish b'hem. Now I can't explain to you the word lehishtamish. I don't know what he means by that.
To involve yourself with the mitzvah.
But I guess it means, in a broader sense, to get involved in the mitzvah, to enjoy the mitzvah. Again, even though mitzvahs lav lehenos, it's not for the sake of, but whatever benefits you get from the mitzvah, spiritual or schar mitzvah, all that belongs, according to the Chasdei David, to the realm of kachin kachin. If this physical material world belongs to Shamayim, Lashem, Aretz, and Meloah, then Kolshken Kavachomer, the world of mitzvahs, which are purely spiritual, a world in which we jump into Schar and Olam Haba and whatnot, that certainly belongs to Kodesh. Who am I? What audacity do I have to step forward, step up to the plate, and take a mitzvah and implement it? That's Kachin Kachin. Says the Chasdei David, the power of the bracha is so great that not only can a bracha be podei kachim kalim, namely hanenim and olam hazeh, that's birchas hanenim, but the power of a bracha is so great that it works as a pigeon even to be matir kachim kachim. And that's the mitzvahs. Shem cheftzei shamayim. In other words, if we go back with the Chasdei David, go back in the time machine to the Rambam, I mean that's turning back the clock 5.5 centuries from Rav David Pardo, then what the Rambam means by the word kishem is that just like there's an isur to be nenem in olam hazeh, in the physical world, there's an isur to be nenem in our mitzvahs. And that too requires a matir. That too requires a pidgin hegdish. But it requires a pidgin hegdish that is even more far-reaching and more powerful than a pidgin of hegdish of hanoah. That's the great power of a bruch.
I have such a concept of me'ilah by things like hanoah, by physical concepts of eating and whatnot, but for things like a mitzvah, I don't see how it could be considered me'ilah. I was commanded to do it.
Right. Well, right. In other words, in the case of hanoah, it's only a heter, it's mishus, you have to decide. So then the Torah might say, look, until you make a bracha, you don't have a heter. But in the case of a mitzvah, the chiyuv itself should be a matir.
I'm saying, if it's something that's not mine, so I have no shaychus to it, so I have to ask kashrus from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's one thing. Here, I don't have to ask kashrus from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu told me, this is what you got to do. You have to put on tefillin, you have to shake a lulav, you have to sit in a sukkah.
And you have to eat the matzah, etc.
If I don't do it, it's an issue.
Right. The chiv itself, it works like this. The isur, in a sense, precedes the chiv. Meaning, once you remove the isur, then the Torah is machayiv. That's the way the Chasdei David sees it. Again, you and I might have seen it in the opposite, so then, in the reverse sequence.
So what generates the... What generates the chiyuv?
No, what we're saying is that the chiyuv, in a sense, is in the closet, meaning it's potential. The chiyuv itself doesn't clamp down, you know, it doesn't materialize and realize itself to be mechayvu befoal, you know, in actuality, to do the maisa, until you clear yourself with another problem, namely that the mitzvah at the same time is hegdish, it's cheftzei shamayim. So that isur me'ila blocks the chiyuv from being chal. Once you remove the isur by being po de hegdish, then the chiyuv is chal.
So
again, I never would have said this, but you know, given the Rambam, I don't, and the Tosefta then in one breath combines Birchas HaNenim with Birchas HaMitzvah, and in Birchas HaNenim, in the ratio, the Tosefta is so outspoken about the fact that the Iser Me'ila generates the chiyuv bracha. Lo yitul adam klum kodesh shevel Hashem aretz mulo HaNenim and olam zeb lo mal. But then he says Hachi yitiru lo kol mitzvahs. Referring to that same bracha that he says below bracha ma'al, he's saying achiyatir lo kol mitzvahs. That means the same line of below bracha ma'al applies to mitzvahs, meaning that you need the bracha to be matir the isur me'ila.
So has the chiyuv ever, meaning why do I ever need to engage in a bracha? There's no chiyuv for me to say the bracha. The chiyuv is only chal after the osir is removed.
Right, so because I desire to take that chiyuv from a bekoach, from a potential, into a befar. Right? Because now that I'm created, I want to fulfill as many mitzvahs as I can.
Obviously, men desire.
Okay, we're going a little bit beyond our, you know, I just want to stick, you know, in the limited time that we have. Again, I'm just trying to give you a flavor of how you can utilize this tool of asking what the mechayev is. Is the Iser mechayev or is the mitzvah mechayev? In the case of Birchas HaMitzvahs, our intuitive response would have been that it's part and parcel of the mitzvah. Kishem shani chayev benetil sluv, kach ani chayev levarech al benetil sluv. But now we're seeing it a little differently. We're seeing it that Birchas HaMitzvah really belongs almost like a subcategory, an extension of Birchas HaNenim, and just like in Birchas HaNenim, it's the Isur Me'ila that generates the bracha and requires the bracha, so too
The hana that a person's getting here is the schar mitzvah. That's what we discussed. So that,
I don't know. I think that's way beyond the purview of our discussion today. Again, my point in these shiurim is just to blitz you with, so that it becomes almost second nature to ask the question, what's the machai? All right, let's go on. What's the machai of Ner Chanukah? And here I have a very fundamental chakir for you. Is it a Chovas Gavra, like any Chovas Gavra? Which means that once the time period is engendered, I as a Gavra am Chayev to be Madlik Neros? Or no? That's not the Machayev.
Chovas HaBayis.
Exactly. The Machayev is the Bayis. The Bayis itself generates the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And what might lead us to that conclusion? The Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah and Rashi in Perek Sheni of Shabbos. I don't have a Masechta Shabbos here, but Rashi on the sugya, I think it's on Daf Chav Gimel, of Haroa Ner Chanukah Chayev Levarech. Rashi implies the question, he never spells it out. Why is the Roa bit making a bracha? I mean, obviously he somehow was excluded from Hadlaka, and Rashi gives a few scenarios why he's not being mevarech on Hadlaka. Why is he being mevarech on Re'iyah? For example, one which is not relevant to us, but I'll mention it in passing. Rashi says he hasn't yet implemented his Chiyuv Hadlaka. It's up and coming. He hasn't yet gotten around to it. He's already chayev once he sees an Erchanik to be mevarech, a roeh. And the other answer that Rashi gives is kigon hamahalich b'sfin. What do you mean I'm a halach b'sfina? Why can't I light a ner Chanukah in a sfina?
It's not a bias.
Exactly, it's not a bias. You see one thing from this Rashi, that ner Chanukah is connected to a bias. I can't just stand in the middle of Rosh Hashanah Rabin, even in front of the White House, you know, and light a ner Chanukah, make a brach on it. There's no bias. If it was a Chovas Gavra, maybe it would be meaningful, you know, to find myself some spot on the face of the earth without a bias and then be madlik. No. The bias engenders the chiyuv. In that sense, I would suggest that Ner Chanukah is very similar to Bedikas Chometz. Just like in Bedikas Chometz, the Machayev is the bias. Obviously a bias that hasn't had Bedikah. It was a Mokum Shemach Nisim
Chometz. It's a bias that you own.
It might be, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe you own it, or you're living there on a temporary basis, maybe you're squatting there, maybe you have schiris kinyan, I don't know exactly what you have, but you're in a bias. The bias generates the chiyuv of bedikas chometz. Mezuzah, likewise, the bias generates mezuzah. So if I'm walking around here and I don't have a bias, I'm not chayav in mezuzah. Mezuzah chovas bias. The chiddush here is that perhaps Ner Chanukah is a chovas bias. If we have time, we'll go through the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah. He also seems to assume that Ner Ish Ubeso doesn't just mean Ner Ish and where should you light the candle, light it in your bias, but rather that bias itself generates the chiyuv. If bias generates the chiyuv, by the way, it could be that all the B'nai bias share really in one chiyuv. It's not a separate chiyuv for you and a separate chiyuv for me. So when we say Ner Ish Ubeso, you have one candle being lit by one member of the household on behalf of the entire household, that's not a Shlichus Halach. If it was a Chovas Gavra, so all the brothers, you know, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, are each individually Chayav, independently Chayav in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, they can appoint me, for example, one brother as a Shliach. They don't even have to appoint me. But if we're looking at it as a Chovas Bias and we combine all the B'nai Bias into one unit, one entity, insofar as they all share the same bias, it could be it doesn't work within Shlichus. It's not that you have to be my Shliach and represent me as my agent to implement the Chovas Kavah. There is no Chovas Kavah. The Chovas is a Chovas Bias. Number four on your list. Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grom. So before we get into what's the machayev, I want to talk about two definitions of mitzvah seish hazman grom. The first definition is Rashi. Rashi in Kiddushin on Daf Chav Tes, when it says Kol mitzvah seishes man groma noshim chayov v'noshim p'turo, says Rashi's man groma shazman gorem la shetova. What's the law?
The mitzvah.
That the zman is gorem the mitzvah. So what would be, according to Rashi, if you had a mitzvah which was limited in time, but it's not that the zman was gorem the chiyuv. On the contrary, there's a zman that's mufka from the chiyuv. In other words, let's say, for example, at time T1, you implement the mitzvah. You cannot implement the mitzvah at time T2. And the reason for that is because time T2 doesn't lend itself to that kiyum mitzvah. Let's say Lila and Tzitzis. It could be the Torah says Urisim also, and that excludes Lila. But it doesn't mean that Yom engenders the Chiyuv. It's not that the, let's say in a perfect day, a 12-hour day period as a unit of time engenders the Chiyuv Tzitzis. That's not what we're saying. I would say the Yom is Gorim. You know, there's nothing, there's a separate thing that Lila is Potter. So what would be in those cases where the Torah says that certain periods of time are exempt from the mitzvah or excluded from the mitzvah? Would that be a zman groma?
No.
I don't think so. According to Rashi, not. So when we say, for example, Lila loves zman tefillin, or Lila loves zman tzitzis, that's going to be a little bit problematic for Rashi, because those are the classical sugyas of mitzvah sasation, zman groma, noshim p'turos. So if you ask me why a woman is exempt from the mitzvah of tzitzis, it's because we paskin Lila loves zman tzitzis. Why is a woman exempt from tefillin? Lila loves zman tefillin. By the way, the Gemara postulates that even if Lila's man tefillin, and you can fulfill the mitzvah of Tumah Lila, women would nevertheless be pturos because Shabbos loves man tefillin. There for sure it's Allah and Shabbos, because it's an os, that's mafkiya the chiv tefillin. But again, to say that the zman is gorim la shetovo, I would say fakeret. In this case of Shabbos, the zman is gorim la shalotovo. No, the zman is gorim the p'tur. But Rashi requires that the zman is gorim the chiyuv. That the mechayiv is the zman. Very difficult questions that have to be answered. But the Rambam, on the same Mishnah in Kiddushin, in his Pirush HaMishnayos, he writes the following. He says, mitzvos aseh shazman groma hein mitzvos sha'odam chayav la'asosam bizman mugbal. Or mesuyam, depending on how you translate it into Hebrew. Like the Rambam wrote it in Arabic. But what do you see about the Rambam and his language insofar it's so different than Rashi's? How does the Rambam define mitzvos aseh shazman groma?
It just has to be accomplished in a time frame.
Yeah, you're limited in your time. What's its girth? Let's read the next line of the Rambam. Ukishalo yezman mugbal. Right? Ve'mechuyavim b'chol hazmanim. Then it's a mitzvah seishalo hazman grom. So basically, according to the Rambam, you're going to find very few mitzvahs that are ein hazman grom, because almost, you know, it's almost a rarity to find a mitzvah that's continuous. According to the Rambam, once the mitzvah is not continuous, meaning there's a zman p'tur or zman mugbal, that already generates the status of zman groma. Rashi, on the other hand, you know, hamotzi mechaveh, Rashi is looking in the opposite direction. Meaning, in order to generate a zman groma, you have to convince me that the zman is goring the mitzvah shetov.
So kiddush, nir, Shabbos, women are not mechayim. Women aren't chayav in Erev Shabbos. Women in Erev Shabbos, which is they have to be in the Seishas Mangrom.
Right, so Miman of Shach. But if you go like Rashi, then you're going to say that Shabbos is Gorim, the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. If you're going to go like the Rambam, you're going to say, well, I can only fulfill this mitzvah in that time slot.
So what's Gorim the Chiyav according to, or Gorim the mitzvah according to the Rambam? In all these different situations.
Again, according to the Rambam, that's not a valid question. It's irrelevant. Because if you want to know whether women are chayav because it's zman grom or not, just ask yourself, is it a continuous mitzvah? It's lo zman grom, women are chayav. Or is it a mitzvah that's limited in time? You don't have to get into deep philosophical discussions according to the Rambam and dig down to the root and think, well, is it the zman gorim or is it zman is poter? That only becomes relevant in the framework of Rashi. Mm-hmm. Good? Now here I want to share with you an amazing shtickl Torah. It's so revolutionary. It's such a chidush. I'm not even sure if I can buy into it. And this is from Rav Guzman in Kovachiv. Rav Guzman, who I personally knew, he wants to know if we can offer, according to the Rambam, an answer to the question of the Sefer HaMakneh, which is a classical achron on Masechta Kiddushin. What is the question of the Sefer HaMakneh? And you and I, by the way, we maybe wouldn't be so despoiled from this question. It's a very meticulous, you know, focused on a few words of the Gemara, but it's an interesting methodology. The Gemara says like this. This is in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Daled, in the sugya of Mitzvah Seishah Zman Grama. The Gemara raises the following question. Now, first I'm going to tell you the Gemara's question outside, and then we're going to read the Gemara, and you'll tell me which words in the Gemara seem to be totally superfluous. The Gemara asks the following. Why are women exempt from Sukkah? So the Brisa establishes there's a pasuk ha-ezrach. Ha-ezrach b'Yisrael, called ezrach b'Yisrael yesh b'sukkahs, ezrach l'mayit nashim, and therefore women are exempt. Fret the Gemara, why do I need the pasuk ha-ezrach? It's a mitzvah seishas man groma. That's all we have to know in terms of the conceptual flow of the Gemara. You got the question? Tape claim mishum davin mitzvah seishas man groma. What do you mean, especially alfusa of ha-ezrach? But listen to the Gemara's language. And tell me if you hear a couple of words here that are extra. Farei sukkah de mitzvah sei shazman groma dichsiv basukos teishvu shivas yamim. Is time of the kosher rachmona ezrach lotzias anoshim havalav hachinoshim pturos. Did you hear a couple extra words there?
Dichtiv.
Yeah, dichtiv. What's this dichtiv? You know, I want to prove to you that sukkah is a mitzvah seis v'agrom. Sukkah is during sukkahs. L'mantei d'oseichin ki v'sukkahs hoshavti is b'nei Yisrael. So sukkahs is during sukkahs. D'chsiv shteitin pasuk b'sukkahs teishu shivas yomim. So Sefer HaMakneh raises this question. Rav Guzman doesn't even bother burdening us with the answer of the Sefer HaMakneh. He says Dachuk Ma'od, and he wants to offer his own original answer based on the Rambam that we just discussed. He wants to ask the following question: what is the nature of Sukkah that classifies it, categorizes it as a mitzvah seishas zman grom? According to Rashi, the answer has to be that the zman is gorim l'chiyuv. According to the Rambam, the answer would be a different answer. That you could only fulfill this mitzvah during 7 days out of the year. On the eighth day, etc., etc., right? On the other 300, give me a quick mathematical calculation, 358 days out of the year, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah, correct? So again, from the Rambam's perspective, all you need is to be magbil the zman mitzvah, right? Lagbil, to limit it, and therefore come up with the zman potter. It's not a continuous mitzvah. From Rashi's perspective, you want to go a step further and say that the zman is gorim and engenders the mitzvah. In truth, Rashi would be okay in this case. Maybe a lot of other kashas that we have on Rashi, from tefillin and tzitzis and the like. But sukkah, I understand, because this is the time period which was designated to remember and duplicate the experience of Bnei Yisrael when they went out to the desert, you know, with all the questions that are asked, you know, why is it that time of the year, you know, but that's not for us now. So the Zman is Gorshon. Says Rav Guzman, but the Rambam would read it differently. The Rambam would say that the Gemara is going to quote this pasuk in order to demonstrate exactly why it's a mitzvah seishas zman grom. It's a mitzvah seishas zman grom, and not because the Zman is goring the chiyuv. It's not something inherent in this period of time that engenders the chiyuv. That's not the point. That is totally irrelevant to that definition of mitzvah seishas zman grom. But since the Torah says, Basukas teishu shivas yamin, what is the Torah doing to the mitzvah of sukkah?
It's limiting.
Exactly. That hagbolas hazman is what the Gemara wants to identify as the reason, as the source for classifying this mitzvah of sukkah as a mitzvah seishas zman grom. The Gemara is coming lafuki Rashi. Don't think that it's a mitzvah seishas zman grom for the reason that you think it's a mitzvah seishas zman grom. Because if you're going to come up with your explanation, you won't be able to universalize that. You'll get stuck at some point as you apply it elsewhere. But rather, what the Gemara wants to do is tell you that the reason why sukkah is a mitzvah seishas zman grom is because it's only shivas yom. And Rav Guzman says, I'm telling you, tili shel kiddushim here. Again, you and I don't know, I shouldn't say you, I could say I. I would have read this Gemara 1,000 times and not bleep an eyelash. Yes. Says Rav Guzman, listen carefully. There's a machlokes, maybe you've heard this in Mavaseret, I used to give shiurim on this all the time, almost every year. I love this sugi. There's machlokes between the Taz and the Marsha about the following issue. What happens on the last day of Sukkot, entering into what? Shmini Atzeres. I was makabel on myself Tosefes Yontif. Mibod Yom. It's still light out. It's after Plagat Mincha on the seventh day of Sukkot, and I was makabel on myself Tosefes Yontif. Is doch for me? It's what Shmini Atzeres. The Torah gave me that power of Tosefes Yontif. Now I want to eat a meal. Where do I eat the meal? In the sukkah or outside the sukkah? Says the Taz. Eat it outside the sukkah. It's Shmini Atzeres. On Shmini Atzeres, we don't eat in the sukkah. It's sukkahs. No, it's not sukkahs. Why isn't it sukkahs? Because you were makabel on yourself, Kedushas Yontif. And which Kedushas Yontif did you accept on yourself? Shmini Atzeres. Now you've engendered Kedushas Yontif. The goreim of sukkah is the Kedushas Yontif of sukkahs. The goreim of sitting in your house and not in the sukkah is the Kedushas Hayom of Shmini Atzeres. You've made that transition from one Kedushas Hayom to the other. Therefore, you eat in the house. And the Marshal, who came before the Taz, I just switched the order around because for pedagogical reasons, the Taz really comes to argue with the Marshal. The Marshal claims, don't eat it all. Because in truth, you have to eat in the sukkah. But we can't allow you to make a bracha on the sukkah. That would be a tarti de sasre. It would be almost a slap in the face, an insult to Shmini Atzeres. You've accepted on yourself Shmini Atzeres, and the Taz goes wild. He goes ballistic. He says, "In Cain," he says to the Marshal. The Marshal's already gone. He said, "Oh," he introduces his argument by saying, "Ein meshivin esari." You know, lachashi yomus. You know, how could I answer? The Marshal, he's already gone. But nevertheless, I feel compelled to do so. As the Taz, Eich gozar hamarshal tainus al kol Yisrael. We never found it. These are tainus here. That because I was makabel myself Tosefes Yontif, I can't eat. I can't eat outside the sukkah because it's sukkahs, according to the Marshal. I can't eat in the sukkah because I'll have to make a bracha, and that's tied to sasrei to Shmini Atzeres. But fundamentally, Rabosai, and this was, I think, Rav Guzman means. Again, I'm reading a lot into Rav Guzman because of my orientation here. I think the root of this machlokas is what generates the mitzvah of sukkah. Is it the zman or the kedusha sazman? Is it the yom itself, meaning that? HaTarich HaZel Aluach HaShanah, meaning that calendar date from Tesvav and 7 days further, or no, it's not that the date itself generates the Kedushas Hayom, generates the mitzvah of Sukkah, it's the Kedushas Hayom that generates. And then Achamim is going to be, what happens, I have the day but I don't have the Kedushas Hayom? How can you imagine such a thing, the day without the Kedushas Hayom? The answer is, when you're makabel on yourself Tosef Shmini Atzeres, the Taz is 100% right. You've shifted your paradigm of Kedushas Hayom from Sukkot to Shmini Atzeres. But Tosefes Yontif cannot convert Yom into Lila. And therefore, it's still the seventh day of Sukkot. So the Marshal Lashitoso, which fits in so much, so beautifully with the Rav Guzman's presentation of the Rambam's reading of the Gemara, Dichsiv, Basukas Teshu Shivas Yomim, that there's a 7 day period, forget about the Kedushas Hayom, forget about what happened during the 7th day or what we're trying to memorialize, that those 7 days are 7 days for Sukkah. I don't care what Kedushas Hayom you're holding by. You're still the 7th day. Lila hasn't yet.
It sounds more like Rashi. The day itself is generating.
No, I don't think so. Because again, what we're saying is that since it's within this time period, therefore you're obligated in sukkah. Whereas the Taz's perspective is what generates the mitzvah of sukkah is the Kedushas Hayom. It's not the time period. If today, right, which is the, let's say, the last day of Shvat, right, if today, next to the last day of Shvat, if today would have the Kedushas Hayom of sukkahs, So according to the Taz, I'd have to sit in Sukkah. That's got to Kedusha Yom. Mm-hmm. According to the Marshal, forget about the Kedusha Yom. The Kedusha Yom does not generate the mitzvah of Sukkah. What's Machayev? So again, let's get back to our original Kedusha. What's Machayev, the mitzvah of Sukkah? Is it the Yom in terms of the date on the calendar, or is it the Kedusha Yom? On that, Bibin Zeh, Net Niflagu, Plukta Gdela, between the Marshal and the Taz.
Tosefes Yom Tov in general, or Tosefes Shabbos, so that transforms the end of the day, and it transforms its kedusha into.
It engenders a kedusha. You can take kedusha and you can expand it in both directions, earlier and later. That's called Mosifim and Achol HaKodesh, or at the beginning, B'tchilaso, or B'sof.
That's a Dabar Pasha, though, that Tosefes extends the kedusha Sayon.
Right. Okay, do we have time for at least one more sugya? Okay. The mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is number 5. So you know that the Mishnah in Masechet Megillah divides up all mitzvahs into two categories. There are mitzvahs Hayom and mitzvahs Halayla. Where would you place the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? Both. On the one hand, it's a mitzvah Hayom. On the other hand, it's a mitzvah Halayla. Chachamim say, Kol Yimei Chayecha. Kol l'rabos es halilos. Good. Now, if Lila generates the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, in addition to Yom, right? Let's leave out Yom. Right now we're focusing on Lila. When does Lila begin? Halach.
Seis.
So then Seis is Machayev Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Until we get to Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah in Masechta Brachas says that with Shkia Sachama you can be Mekayim, you're obligated, and you can be Mekayim the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because it doesn't say Laila in the Pasuk, but rather it says Kol Yimei Chayecha. The Kol L'Rabos Leilos is therefore, it's only a ribui from the word Kol. Is that Laila begins with Shkia Sacham as far as Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Shagas Aryeh goes ballistic. He can't even begin to understand what Rabbeinu Yonah is talking about. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos is a classical mitzvah Laila, which requires tzeis. What difference does it make if you derive it from Kol, or if you derive it from the word Laila, like for example, Karban Pesach says, V'yachlus habosav ha-Laila hazeh. So we know you have to wait till Tzeis. Right? And that's why we wait till Tzeis to begin our Seder, so that all the mitzvahs of Leil Pesach should be engendered by Tzeis. Why not apply the same yardstick and the same rules to Zechiras
Yetzias? Isn't that exactly what the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah is saying?
I meant to bring in the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. I don't know if somebody could run in and get it.
That is the Reboy. The Reboy itself is, meaning, generally speaking,
the Reboy is that there's a mitzvah salal. And it's in addition to the Yom, Kol Yimei Chayecha, and the Lashon of the Mishnah in the name of the Chachom is L'Rabba Salilo. So it's a mitzvah salal. Comes on Rabbeinu Yonah and says name. It doesn't say Laila, and therefore, Ishkiya Sacham.
So you can't say.
So let's say, for example, if you, after Mincha, you go straight into Ma'ariv. Lamazon, right? The sun set, but it's not Laila yet. And in Ma'ariv, you recite a Kriya Torah. So they bang on the table, and they say, don't forget to say Kriya Shema after 8:32 and a half, right? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, that message is completely superfluous. Unnecessary.
So what is there's a chiyuv to be zocher to say 3 times a day?
No. He's saying that Laila begins with Shkia Sacham. And therefore, once you recited Kriya Shema, I'm talking about the third parsha of Kriya Shema now, after Shkia Sacham, even though it's before Laila, meaning your definition of Laila universally to engender all mitzvahs of Laila, you yotz
to Shkia Sacham and Yom.
There's mechayev that yom and lack of yom. Okay.
And basically, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, if we talk about Tefillas Arvis, for example, I don't think we need Laila for Tefillas Arvis. All we need is that mincha time ended. Now, what's mafkir mincha? What terminates mincha? Shkiyas hachala. And once you've terminated mincha, there's no middle zone here, you know, twilight zone. You go right into Ma'ariv, according to many, many shitas. So it means that Laila, as far as Tfilas Arvus is concerned, is engendered with Shkiyas Hachama. And the plot goes thicker because there's a Mishnah Menachos that says Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyas Hachama, which means that in Hilchis Karbonos, where Dam becomes possible if it passes from one day into the other, that psul is chal on a deraisa level with Shkiyas Hachama. And that's a pella because in the transition between Yom and Laila, the key moment is Tzeis. And we haven't yet gotten to Tzeis. In some countries, during certain time periods, the distance between Shkia and Tzeis could be very significant. Mm-hmm. It could be an hour, I think, in certain parts of the world. So what is it? Is it Shkia or Tzeis? So the Shagasari thinks that your universal halacha is Tzeis. What you do with Ma'ariv, don't know. What you do with Dam Nifsal, I don't know. So the Rav says that there are two standards for Yom and Laila. There's a standard of Yom and Laila in which we differentiate and compare and contrast Yom and Laila. And there we say that the Yom ended and the Laila began. And then there's a different standard for Laila, which is called a Chalos Shem Laila, a Hechsher Laila. It gets a Chalos Shem Laila, the Chol Mitzvah HaTorah, the Chol Dini HaTorah. Now again, Rabbi Osai, this part of the Shia, I'm not even touching the tip of the iceberg. This is one of the most complicated shiurim I ever studied from the Rav. It's called Yom V'Laila. It's 35 pages. It must have been a 5-hour shiur at least. He covers so much.
Can you repeat the idea once more?
The Rav is saying the following. There's one halacha of shiurim in Yom and Laila. You have to set up a shiur. This is Yom, this is Laila, this is the end of Yom, this is the beginning of Laila. That's one standard. There's another standard in setting up a Chalos Shem Laila, meaning setting up this time period and investing in it inherently a status of Laila.
How can it be Yom in terms of the shiurim, but there be a status of Laila at the same time?
Because the Torah gives us, again, this is part of a long shiur, a different standard of Yom V'Laila. It's not just Hama'oras Hagdolim, which means it depends on Shkia, but there's another halacha of Tzeis HaKochavim, which is written in Tanakh. And that those psukim in Tanakh, which speak about Tzeis HaKochavim, refer to Tzeis HaKochavim, they reflect on Laila as a new entity. Forget about Yom. Just define Laila.
So there's Laila and Yom in terms of like the sky and the moon and
the Ma'oros, correct?
Right. So that's dictated by physical world.
And then the Kochavim. The Kochavim come out, and that engenders in that time period a status of Laila that's inherent in that status. Again, I'm giving it very superficially. I'm telling you, Yaakov, this is very profound. The Rav lecture on this for hours. If you're interested, it would be an interesting project to go through. I've gone through the piece 2 or 3 times and I still don't understand it fully. Because when he gets to the punchline, it wasn't totally clear to me. But in the Shiur L'Zeich HaBamari, you would look in 2 places. One is in the Kuntres on Kriyat Shema, and the other is in this Shiur called Yom V'Laila. I think they're in 2 different volumes.
Okay.
So the Rav said that the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah is that when we come to ask the question of Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim, we have to ask what generates the Chiyuv. Is it the Shem Laila and the Heksha Laila as a Chal Shem in the time period? Or is it the end of the day and the beginning of the night? So we look at a 24-hour period and we divide it up with Shiurim of Yom and Shiurim of Laila. Says the Rav, that's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah, which the Shagasari couldn't tolerate, that the Koveya of the Machayev, with the determining factor that engenders the obligation of remembering Mitzrayim, is Yom and Laila. The call is telling me that go beyond Yom into the next time period and fulfill the mitzvah of Zechir. You think, well, Zechartem, Kevin, Yisrael, Mitzrayim, call Yimei. So you read it Yimei. So you say Yimei, only Yom and not Lailas. No, the call Yimei adds on an addendum to the Yom and forces you, obligates you to go beyond the Yom. If you're going beyond the Yom, the Shir of Yom ends with Shkiyas Hachama, and now whatever is related to the time period after Yom is engendered by Shkiyas HaChamas.
That's the status of that time period after Yom before the
it's called Laila. It's called Laila as far as Shi'urim are concerned, even though it's devoid of the Chalushen Laila. Okay? So as far as, you know, comparing and contrasting the Midas Yom and the Midas Laila, then Shkiyah is your determining pivotal point, and past Shkiyah, you've already gone from the Mid of Yom to the Mid of Laila. You've made that transition. But if you need a Shir of Laila to create a Chal Hashem Laila inherent in the time period, to be Machshir Laila for new mitzvahs that depend and are engendered by Laila, then you need Seis HaKochav. The Chiddush is, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, that what engenders Laila as far as the mitzvah and the chiyuv of Shkiyas Yitzchayim is Shkiyas HaChama. The you other Shita would say, no, I need Laila v'Toras Laila.
The Laila Shira.
Right. If the call is only a Gili Milsa that you need Laila, then admittedly it's not Laila until the stars come out. But if you're just needing taking the day as a unit and dividing it up into its parts, into its shiurim, and by the way, even Yom itself divides up into smaller shiurim, and Laila might divide up into different shiurim for certain dinim, then Shkiyas HaChama is your critical point. So when the Mikdash closes for business, it means Yom is passed and we enter into a new time period. That new time period is engendered by Shkiyas HaChama. That's why Dam Nisal B'Shkiyas HaChama. Again, Rabbi Osar, I'm giving you not even the tip of the iceberg. But just to show you that when you're asking in terms of Mitzvah Laila, what engenders the Chiyuv, you can really define it in two different ways. You can say that Yom has ended, I extended beyond that period of time, now I'm engendering a new Chiyuv. That's the Mechayev. Or no, Laila per... Qua Laila is generating the chiyuv. And finally, but this is maybe not for tonight because we have to end. Dine Kedima. I'll give you two examples of Dine Kedima, and then we're going to have to ask what's the machayev of Kedima. One din of Kedima is that if I can only teach Torah to two people, to one of two people, excuse me, because let's say they're in different parts of the world, for argument's sake. One of them is my son, and the other is your son.
And there's no Skype.
And there's no Skype, right? Excellent. Then, there's a din of Kedibas ben Lagabi ben Chaver. For that matter, the Torah says in a pasuk, which the Rambam quotes right here at the beginning of Talmud Torah, that din of Kedima applies even to the son of your son. And the Rambam says, Vodata levanecha ulevnei vanecha. And therefore, the Rambam says that there's a din kedima of beno, or for that matter, ben beno, to ben chaver. So the Kesef Mishnah says, mesafkali, I'm reading the Kesef Mishnah, I ben bito kodem le ben chaver. Now, I would ask you guys the following question. Is there anyone here that has, whose father has a grandson through a sister of yours, if you follow my question? No?
I'm the oldest.
Ah. I'm the second oldest.
Oh, okay. So I have, Baruch Hashem, a lot of grandchildren, but from my daughter, because I have three married sons, I only have daughters. So I wasn't Zilka yet, and it's Hashem, I will be. I have two daughters coming up the pipe as well. So there's a good chance that it's Hashem, hopefully with Siat Tishma, I'll have Ben Bito. The question is, if I have two people in front of me, one is my grandson through my daughter, the other is your son, do I have to give Kedima to Ben Bito? Because the Rambam, based on the Pasuk of Vodatul of Anecha Uliv Nevanecha, only mentions Ben Bino. And the Kesef Mishnah vacillates on this problem, he doesn't come to any definite conclusion. I think it depends on what the Machayev of Kedima is. There are two ways of understanding the Machayev. I call it Mibsarch al Tisale, meaning is it relatives? Meaning I have a special chiyuv vis-a-vis my relatives. For example, in Staka, there's no doubt that Ben Bito would come first and take precedence over Ben Chavero. So let's say I have $100 and I can give it to one or two aniyim. One is my daughter's son and the other is your son. I would give it to my daughter's son. That's called Mibsarch al Tisale. And perhaps Talmud Torah is the greatest expression of tzedakah and chesed that you can have. As the Gaon quotes the Tanit of Be'elio right here at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, Ufros l'ara'ev lachmacha, that's the source for the mitzvah of teaching Torah, whatever that means, it has to be understood. Or no, the din kedima is a different kind of halacha. The din kedima is not based on some universal halacha of relatives and sher basar and upsar kal tesalim. It's a halacha in Talmud Torah that I have to teach my son and I have to teach my grandson. Why? Because my son has to teach his grandson. I have to teach my son. If he can't teach his son, he passes on his chiv to me. Why does he have the right to pass up his chiv back to me, to the grandfather? Because I have to teach him Torah. So my chiv to teach his Torah, him Torah, is sort of like a mushroom overall chiv that encompasses any chiv that stems and emanates from my chiv to teach his Torah, including his chiv to teach his Torah. What would be in the case of Ben Bito?
So then it would depend on when.
There's no chiv to teach so Bito.
If it's an ongoing chain,
that I pass, you know, let's look at the son in the middle, right, who's the son of the grandfather and the father of the grandson, that son in the middle becomes a link in the chain. There are two hooks. One hook linking him back to his father. Another hook linking him to his son. Those hooks, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the sugya of Mishmash Nachal at the end of Bava Basra, right? That a grandfather inherits his grandson, because since he inherits his son, and his son inherits his grandson, that's called Mishmash Nachal. So maybe the halacha of Ben Beno is a Mishmash Chiyuv. You know, it's like, take the Chiyuv of the son vis-a-vis his son, and I pass it up to the father, the grandfather, because it's an unbroken chain of Chiyuvim. If that be the case, then it doesn't apply to the case of Ben Bito.
So a grandfather has a chiyuv to be Malame Torah to his grandson?
Right, but the question is why?
Yeah, so if that's a din in Talmud Torah, so...
If it's a Talmud Torah dikka din, then what it means is that I have a chiyuv to teach you, my son, and you have a chiyuv to teach your son, that links me to your son, meaning to my grandson. There's an unbroken chain of chiyuvim.
Okay, but how does my chiyuv relate to the grandson's chiyuv? Meaning, I understand how indirectly it relates because since I have a chiyuv for my son, then and he has a chiyuv for his grandson. So
well, my responsibility is to transmit Torah to my son, and the transmission of Torah goes one generation further and many generations further.
Okay.
So when I have to transmit Torah as a grandfather, instead of stopping at my son, I pick up his chiyuv and I transmit the Torah to my grandson, because there's an unbroken chain of chiyuvei mesiras haTorah from the son to his son, etc., etc.
So
but that chain becomes broken
right
with the daughter, because the Torah says levanech v'lo
v'noseh. Hey, this is more a local question, I guess, for this sugya, but I don't see how a grandfather could be mekayim his son's chiyuv. I mean, isn't there a chiyuv on the son to
teach
his son
Torah? Because if the chiyuv of Talmud Torah is to transmit Torah,
uh-huh,
then I, as a father, have to see to it that my son transmits Torah. If he doesn't transmit Torah, then I'll have to transmit Torah for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that links me up with his son, with my grandson.
Uh-huh.
There's another din kedima. Let's say your mother asks you for a cup of tea, and your father asks you for a cup of tea.
First.
So the Gemara says you give your father first. What kind of din kedima is it? The Gemara derives from a svara. That you and your mother share a chiyuv, a common chiyuv vis-a-vis your father. So yesh lachar, what's the nature of the machayiv of that din kedima? Is it that, just one second, let me see how I wrote it.
Is the chiyuv from my father, or is it the chiyuv from my mother, and her chiyuv continues, I have to continue her chiyuv to my father. And I guess the same thing could be applied right to your grandmother. Right? Well, do I have a chiyuv to mechayiv my grandmother? Do I have a chiyuv to mechayiv my father, who is mechayiv my grandmother?
Right. So let me just say it over in my own words. I think it's exactly what you were saying. I want to say the following. When it says, Atavi mecha chayovim bechvod avicha, how does that work? Is that magala that the chiyuv that I have to my father is greater than the chiyuv that I have to my mother? Or no? I have a chiyuv to my mother just as much as I have a chiyuv to my father. The din kedima comes in here because how can I be mechavid my mother when she herself has to be mechavid her husband, who's my father? So again, there are two ways of looking at this. You can look at this as a gilui, as a this mechanism works to reveal that somehow kibud av is greater than kibud aim. Or you can look at it as if, how could I be machabed my mother when she herself has a chiyuv vis-a-vis my father? And she would almost have to take, I don't mean this literally, take the kibud and give it over to him, to my father, to her husband. Then afkamina would be if the parents are divorced. Because if we're saying that this is just a gili mil, so that kibud av is greater, then I don't have to apply that in every single case. All I have to do is use one case to illustrate that kibud av is a greater mitzvah. But if, on the other hand, it's a problem to be mechabed my mother over my father because she has the schi of kibud, but medvar mamurim, as long as my parents are married, if my parents are divorced, then I no longer have that chiyuv to be mechabed my father because of my mother. In other words, again, it's very similar to the chakira we had before. In other words, are we creating a direct relationship like we did between the grandfather and the grandson in the case of Talmud Torah, because you have to transmit the Torah down the generations, or are we creating an indirect link? In the case of kibud aim and av, what we're saying is that really it's an indirect link. I'm going through my mother to my father. There's no direct link to my father that would give supremacy and primacy to my father over my mother. The kibud av is not greater than the kibud aim. And I have to tell you, Rabbosai, all the poskim per echad, I haven't seen anyone disagree with this. They all say, and it even goes back to Rishonim, that if your parents are divorced, then the rule of Atav v'met chayom v'chvod avicha no longer applies. You have two equal mitzvahs, and now you have to know what you do with two equal mitzvahs. It's just the ball is back in your court, you choose. Is it that, you know, your mother's standing closer to you than your father, imavir nala mitzvahs, and whatever other rules apply.
How does the fact that a wife has a chiyuv on her husband, how does that affect your chiyuv?
No, I'm just saying it may be a gili milsa. The very fact that that in the relationship between a mother and a father, the mother herself has to give kavod to the father, that shows that his kibud is greater.
So, even though your chiyuv of kibud is equal between them,
he's saying it's a chiddush to say that I have to.
Oh no, no! I don't know which side of the chakir you're on.
I was talking on the second side.
If it's a second side, then really the two chiyuv are equal. But what am I going to do? I'm going to pass the tea to my mother. She has to pass it to my father. So tati afuchim tati lovely. It's an exercise of futility. I might as well give my father first.
I'm saying it's a chiddush to say that I have to take part in fulfilling my mother's chiyuv to my father. That's
right.
Not a
pleasure
thing to say.
Right.
Well, I just want to end the shiur because I see it's really late. I had a few more sugis I wanted to throw into, but one thing that brings this home is harchokas nezikin.
That's one more thing. How is it futile to be mechabed your mother by giving her the cup of tea, even if she's going to give it to the father? The fact that you are mechabed her by giving it to her, isn't that an expression of kavod?
Maybe there are two different types of kavod here, but we're talking about hanas haguf. Hanas haguf means who's going to drink the water. You know, you may have different categories, like for example, mechabed lachem misa. Again, this really goes way beyond the purview. I just want to end with one. I had a whole chakira here about kriyas haTorah, which I'm learning with your brother, whether it's a Chovas Yochid, a Chovas Tzibur. Yerub Chaim used to get off the train, you know, between one city and the other on Mondays and Thursdays in order to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Obviously, he held it was a Chovas Yochid, so the Chiv is engendered by the Gavra himself, by the Yochid himself. Or is it that when the Tzibur gets together, that engenders the Chiv? But if there's no Tzibur, there's no Chiv. And the Ramban seems to classify, the Ramban in Megillah, in Melchamas, the Megillah seems to classify Kriyas HaTorah together with all, everything else that's mentioned in that Mishnah Megillah as a Chovas Tzibur. But that again touches on the offshoot Chakira, which I told you at the beginning of the year we're not going to discuss. Namely, is it a Tnai in the Chiyuv or is it a Din the Kiyum HaMitzvah? In other words, even if I hold, like Reb Chaim, that there's a Chovas Yochid, that my obligation to hear Torah reading is engendered by the time period itself, on me, I still need a certain condition, just like I need a lulav to fulfill and implement my mitzvah of lulav, so too I need a tzibur in order to implement my mitzvah of shmi'as haTorah. But finally, and this is where I wanted to bring it a little closer, harchakas nezikin. This is the sugi that we've been dealing with now. What's the machayev of harchakas nezikin? Is it the schus of the nizak to be toveah, Or is the creation of the mazik itself, even without the tviyas hanizak, enough to generate the chiyuv harchok? And the nafka mina might be in the case where the nizak is also a mazik. For example, in the case...
We have such a case.
Yeah, like for example, in the case of dvorim, right? That your chardol is damaging my dvorim, but at the same time, my dvorim is damaging your chardol.
Right. So Tosos happens to bring down. It's not so much. He sounds like saying, but once you're a mazik, you can't be in this.
No. So I'm saying the following. So now, let's say, for example, in the case of bar, right? Ruvain digs a bar, and later Shimon digs a bar. Now, I could say that Reuven's bar is damaging Shimon's bar, just as Shimon's bar is damaging Reuven's bar. Right? We have a two-directional hezek situation. What I could suggest is that insofar as Reuven's bar is damaging Shimon's bar, Reuven forfeits his ability, his rights, his privileges to be tover chokas nezikim. So if the machayev chokas nezikim is chus tviya, then maybe a mazik is pakamimenu zchus tviya. He forfeits his rights to be tovea harchakas nezikin. But if, on the other hand, we can say that that situating a mazik, a dovra mazik, in a certain location, which now jeopardizes somebody else's object, somebody else's property, that itself, independent of the tviya hanizak, creates a chiv harchakas nezikin, that I could be mechayev the sheni when he digs his bar to be marchik, because as Rashi says, every time he digs his bar, he's being mazik the other guy's bar, or at least the kosel of the other guy's bar, biyodayim. So the difference between hezek number one and hezek number two is hezek number one is a process that eventually could and will lead to the hezek of Shimon's bar when the sheni digs his bar. Hezek number two might have its own original source, independent of the nizak's tviya.
Sounds like a bayin.
To be mechayev his harchaka, namely the fact that he is creating a mazik. So the asiyas hamazik engenders a chovas harchaka. Do you follow where the? But why am I so excited about this? Because I wanted to demonstrate to you that the chakira of mechayev is not limited to mitzvahs. You know, a lot of what we did tonight. Is what engenders the mitzvahs. But you can talk about other types of chiyuvim, which aren't, the complexion of which is not mitzvahs, but rather chiyuv mamon. And I can ask you, what's mechayiv mamon? So, for example, in the Zikin, I can ask you, what's mechayiv you in mamon? Is it the digging of the bar, or is it the owning of the bar? So let's say I dig a bar in my backyard, and then I'm mafkir the entire rishus around the bar. Am I chayiv? Well, the digging of the bar can't be machayev me. I dug it in my backyard. But once I'm mafkir everything, I now own a bar. So if bailus over a mazik is machayev nezikin, I have to pay you if you fall in. If, on the other hand, the creation of the mazik is machayev me, then I didn't create a mazik. It was not a mazik at the time of the creation. So I'm just pointing out to you that this chakira of what engenders what is the machayev and identifying the machayev is relevant way, way beyond the strict, limited parameters, the Shivas Yom and Sukkis, and all the other mitzvahs.
By Zuchus, if you say that Harachas and Zikin, the Machayev heard is the Zuchus Nizak Latvawa. So, when we, within that Tzad, does Tviya mean that as long as the Nizak doesn't say anything to me, the Mazik, I could keep my thing wherever it is.
Absolutely.
So that's another nafkamina, whether there's a chiyuv on the outset for me, right, to distance or
whatever. I was focused on this fascinating nafkamina, if the nizak is also a mazik. So right. It could be that his shame mazik is mafkia, his chus to be tovea as a nizak. You can't wear two hats at the same time. But if the mazik is now placing down a mazik, so nihi, that there's no tviya against him, there might be a separate machayev of harchokas nizikin in asiyas hamazik. And Rashi adds this condition that if I'm being mazik, you be a dayim when I dig my bar, meaning Shimon the Sheni, that itself engenders a chiyuv harchokas nezikin. Even though the Rishon is no tzaddik, when he dug his bar, he was also a mazik in potential. So maybe he can't be mafkir, he can't be tovei and nezakin. But there's an independent machayev nezakin. So it's tzvei dinim. And this also, again, this belongs to a different chakira, namely tzvei didim, which means that after you set up a chakira, whether it's A or B, you can raise another chakira. Could it be A plus B or A or B? And that's going to be a whole other shia for a different night. Okay, then?